Okay. What time? 3:45.
3:45.
Okay, you gotta take attendance once in a while. Yonah Leibowitz.
Yeah.
How do you do? Shalom Aleichem. Alicia Heshing. Nice to meet you. Okay. Leia Finkelstein.
Here.
Michael Fagan is here. Ezra Heshing.
Here.
Jacob Rosenfeld. Is he in the shiur?
Ezra. He's
coming through. Okay. Moshe Gordon. Baruch Lev Kelman. Michael Ben Lolo. Okay. Moshe Simon. Mayor is always here. Okay. Woody Aronovitz. Who's this? Friedman?
Matan.
Matan Friedman. Okay. Adam Zeller. Mordechai Scheinson. Ben Weinstein, Shia Weinstein, Ruvi Sturm, Joe Miller is here, Yehuda Dovris. Okay, are there any other students whose names I didn't call out?
There are a few okay. New students this semester.
Okay, anybody drop out?
So, I don't think so. Maybe we should pass around the sheet.
Maybe pass around the sheet, add your names to the list.
Anybody was not mentioned, put your name on the
sheet. Okay. Let's start from the Mishnah Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the second Mishnah. Second Mishnah talks about Hagrama. The Gemara earlier in the Masechta mentioned the Chomesh Hilchot Shechita. It was at Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara mentions the five Hilchot Shechita, Shia, Drasach, Alad, Hagrama, the Iker. The Gemara says, Kula Teninu, the role of the Farish and Mishnais. Yeah, so this Mishnah is Hagrama. Where did these five halachas come from? So the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak begins on Dav Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, so on Chav Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara quotes a pasuk about 15 lines from the top of Chav Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, the Tanya Rebbe Yaimim, Zavachta Kashet Tzivisicha. That's the Parshan Chumash. When we'll come in Teretz Yisrael, and we'll live far away from the Beis Hamikdash, it'll be too difficult to bring korbanos to each shlamim. So there's a heter. V'amarta oichel habasa kisava nafshecha lechol basa. You have a desire to eat meat. So it's a b'chalas nafshecha tizbach v'chal tabasar. And then it's v'zavachta kasher tzivisichem. That's called besar taiva. That's called chulin. As opposed to shchitas kachm, this is shchitas chulin. So that's called the satay because the pasuk says kisava napshecha lechol basa. So the pasuk says zavachta kasher tzivisicha. You should shecht in accordance with the halachas that I have told you. So the Gemara quotes the brayson chav chesam and aleph malamed. That phrase kasher tzivisicha teaches us in its tava Moshe ala beishet v'alakana v'alroiv echad ba'if alroiv shnayim bebehima. The din of roiv echad ba'if and roiv shnayim bebehima. The din that ruba kukuloi. So the Gemara on Chav Ches Amud Beis, the last 15 lines, has a machloikes amaroim, where the machza machza is kiroi vanat. So the Gemara said, this is a machloikes. What was the halacha l'moshe m'sin? Hocha amalei rachmona l'moshe, hochi amalei rachmona l'moshe. So Rashi writes over there, because that's the halacha l'moshe m'sin. The phrase was avachta kashet zivisicho. Kashet Tzivisich has the connotation, as I have instructed you, Torah Sheba'al Peh. So we mentioned when we first started the Masechta that the Pasuk says, Alei Alei Ho'hora, after Maimon HaSinai. So the Rabbanu Shalom, Maimon HaSinai was on Shavuos, then the Rabbanu Shalom says, I want to give you the Luchas. Alei Alei Ho'hora, Ve'etn Luchas Luchas Ha'evin, Ve'ator V'hamitzvah Shekosavti Lahoro Sam. So the Gemara says, Etn Luchas Luchas Ha'evin, refers to the Aseres Hadibras on the Luchas, V'Hatorah refers to the rest of the Chamishul Chumshi Torah, V'Hamitzvah refers to Torah Sheba'al Peh, Mishnah. The same is over here, V'Zavachta Kashet Tzivisicha. Kashet Tzivisicha has the connotation of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So there it says, HaTorah is the rest of Chamishul Chumshi Torah, V'Hamitzvah is Mishnah. Asher Kosavti, Lahor Osam, Kosavti refers to Nevi'im Ksuvim, That's how the Gemara said. That's a comment in the Gemara at the beginning of Brachas, Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Daf Yemi people just flew through it. And the Rambam quotes that Pasuk in the Hakdamah to his Mishneh Torah. Etan Chos Luchos Evan, HaTorah Mitzvah Shekosavti Lohiroisam, that everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shebichzab and the Torah Shebapeh. Asher Kosavti refers to the rest of Nevi'im Maksuvim, Lohiroisam refers to Gemara. It's a separate. Mishnah is one thing. Mishnah means Torah Shebapeh, traditions they had. And Gemara means that we are able to decide which din to apply to which case based on all the traditions that we have. So this Mishnah is going to talk about the concept of Hagrama. He mentioned there's another pasuk when they had the Melchemes Midyan, the end of Chomish Bamidbar. So it says, Vayitzbu'u al Midyan kashatziv Hashem es Moshe. So the Rambam quotes the Sifrei, the Rambam in Hilchus Malachim. Hilchus Malachim, the full title is Hilchus Malachim Milchama Seyim. So all the dinim b'milchama appear in the Rambam in Hilchus Malachim Milchama Seyim. We call it Hilchus Malachim b'kitzer. It's too long, Hilchus Malachim Milchama Seyim. But it's all about milchama. So every country has to have an army to protect itself. So the Rambam quotes a drasha from the Sifrei, a comment from the Sifrei, that whenever you wage war against the enemy, you're not allowed to surround them on all four sides. You have to surround them on three sides so they should have a way to run away. If you're going to surround them on all four sides, they realize there's no way to get out, so they're going to fight back with more zest. So if you only surround them on three sides, there's a better chance that they'll run away. So the Rambam quotes the Sifrei that's the mashmos of the pasuk. Vayitzbu'u al Midyan, Kashatziv Hashem es Moshe. They waged the war against Midyan in accordance with the halachas of the Torah Shabbal Peh. Kashatziv doesn't say in the Chumash that you can only surround on three sides. That's Torah Shabbal Peh. Yeah. What does it mean, Hagrama? So the simple translation of the word Hagrama means to go to Lahatos, to tilt the knife, you're shefting with a knife, to tilt the knife in the wrong direction. So this would be good if you're shechting, let's say, in one location, and then in the middle you switch to shecht in a different location. What if you start off by shechting in the wrong location? There's an uppermost point and a lowermost point, both by the kona and by the veshit. By the behemoth, you have to shecht the kona and the veshit. So there's an uppermost point and a lowermost point. Above that, it's no longer called the kona, it's no longer called the veshit. And below that, it's no longer called the kona the veshit. See, here the Tanaim, the Rashi on the Mishnah, on Yud Chesem and Aleph, has two pshatim in the Mishnah. One pshat he likes, because it's backed up by the Tesefta. The other pshat he doesn't like. So one pshat is that the kone, the windpipe, consists of a whole bunch of taboes. What do you call it in English? Cartilages. What do you call the...
Rings.
Anybody know English?
Rings.
Okay.
I have an English translation of a different...
What's it called?
A ring.
A ring? In English, it's called a tabas, really? Okay. Yeah. Literal translation, the Hebrew?
Okay.
So Rashi quotes them from the Tosefta, at the uppermost point and a lowermost point, and you can shecht anywhere in between. Shoin. And this is not like Isda Mefarshe, Rashi quotes in the middle of this, big fat Rashi on Yud Chesem and Aleph. So he says, is the Mefarshim, others say, let's say you're shechting in the Tabas Ho'el Yoina, the upper ring, which goes all the way around, and then you tilt your knife and you start going downward. So anywhere in between the uppermost point and the lowermost point is good. So that's what it says in Tosefta. So Rashi quotes, is the Mefarshim, others say no, that just like if you go too high, it's called Hagrama. So if you go too low, it's also called Hagrama. And Rashi doesn't like it. What do you mean? That it's against the Tosefta? Once in a while, you have a machlokes between the Mishnah and the Tosefta. But if you have no hechrich to say it's a machlokes, the Pashta says the Tosefta, he elaborates on the Mishnah, explains it better. So that's the accepted shita. We don't hold like that. That you have to, if you start a shechting in a tabas, he can't go above and he can't below. Go below, you have to continue shechting in that tabas. We don't accept that is the mefarshim. Okay. there's an important, there's there are a lot of prokim here. There are 12 prokim. Shiloh HaKam is Lesber. So Perak HaSir is Hazra V'HaChayayim V'HaKeva. So there's a Melchamas, the Ramban has on the bottom of the Rif. The Melchamas in Perak HaZroa, you have to wait till you get 9 prokim later. So there's Ramban there who explains that there's a connection between the Mokam Shechita and how much of the Lechi do you have to give to the Kohanim. So Zroa HaChayayim V'HaKeva is one of the Chop Dalet Matnas Kohuna. So the Kone is considered a Kone till a certain point, and above that point is called Lechi. Then it's already part of the Matnas Kohuna. So wherever you're going to draw the line, if you're going to draw the line at one point, above that you have to give to Matnas Kohuna. And below that, it's not called a Lechi. All right. So that's when you get to Perek Yud. We'll have to take a look in that Ramban. So what's the Machlokes HaTanoim and the Mishnah? Shech mitoch HaTabas. Rashi explains he's shechting the tabas hakdoila, the upper ring. Shibo melachut al pene kulish chitos ekshe. Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda disagrees. Melachut al pene ruba. So the Gemara explains, what are they fighting about? What if you did hagrome b'miut basra? All the tanoim al pi pashtus agree that if you shecht roiv is good. That's the beginning of the second parak. That's the Mishnah of Zainam and Aleph. If you shecht Roiv of the Kanan, the Roiv of the Veshet, is good. And the Gemara said, that's Halachal Moshe Messina. That's the Halachal Moshe Messina. That's the Machlokes on the bottom of Chav Chesam and Beis. What exactly was the nature of the Halachal Moshe Messina? Is it Machza Machza is good? Or do you need Dafke Machza Machza? Inikere, we need slightly more than 50%. Machlokes between Rav and Rav Kanan. So that's Halachal Moshe Mitzinai. The Rambam has a famous line in the Hakdomah to Pirush HaMishnah, it's printed in the end of Brachas. The Rambam writes, he disagrees with the Gaonim. The Gaonim were of the opinion that every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Every single sif in the Mishnah Berurah was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Based on the Midrashim that say, Kol Masha Talmud Vasek, Osir L'chadosh, Nemalol Moshe Mitzinai. So the Gaonim took it literally. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you have all the Midrash HaTorah and the Drashas for? Had a Darshan Dinim. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a tradition and everything. So the Gaonim are of the opinion that the Klal of Prat, the Klal and Dov Shoei B'Klal, all the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and the Drashas, these are just mnemonic devices. These are ways to check whether your tradition is accurate or not. But every single din was a tradition. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam is very upset about that, and he says that's a bizoyan to the Jewish people to assume like that. Every page in Shas has a machlokes, and every machlokes is based on shikha, that they forgot what the din was. The most precious thing that we have is the Torah, and we forgot every single din. Every page in Shas has a machlokes. How can it be that we forgot? So the Rambam says it can't be. Whatever was halachal Moshe Mitzina does not shaykh to have any machlokes on that. The only time there's room for machlokes is in every generation. The chachamim have the right to invent new dinim based on the yud gimel midas shatar and the dreshes them. They darshan the psukim. There was no tradition. They darshan the psukim, and they come up with new dinim. And it could well be even there's a machlokes in achrayim. It could even be that if a bezdin in a later generation comes up with a din, the din is only noig mikana lahabo. Let's say a bezdin invents a din mederabbanon. So the din mederabbanon is only mikana lahabo. You don't say, it's a gloy milson affair. It was always like that. They invented it. They asked it, bishalakam. They asked it, gvina sakam. So from now on, gvina sakam is also. If you have gvina sakam from before, it should be mutter, whatever you have in your refrigerator. That the goy made it, and yesterday it was mutter. So today means whatever they'll make, mikan labo, that's the rush. We saw, where was that rush? You had Zion Amin Aleph. Boyer Rab Yirmiyah, here the second wide line. Boyer Rab Yirmiyah, Eber b'sanachir shechni solim ma'im loretz mahu. So the Rosh over there discusses when the Bez makes exer the Rabbanon, it's mikan al haba. They don't ask the ex post facto whoever has green asakim in his house. Mikan al haba, the green asakim that may made from now on will be us. So the Achreidim have a machlekes. The Chidor wrote many svarim. I think he wrote over 80 Swarm. So one of the Svarim is a commentary on Megillas Rus that's called, what's it called? Simchas HaRegel, I think. Simchas HaRegel. So he quotes a Machlokes Achronim, when a Bezdin, we're assuming like the Rambam, that the Bezdin in every generation has the right to darshan the dinim the way they understand. And there's no tradition. There's a tradition. What are the Yud Gimel leaders, Shatar and Adreshes? But they didn't have a tradition every single din. I, the Midrash, say, Kol Mashatamid Vasik Osir L'Chadish Nemel on Moshe Mitzinai. So the Rambam obviously understands that to mean it's all included in what was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Not that that din exactly was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the text of the Chumash, and he was given the idea, the concept of the Lidah Shatar and Adreshes Ben. And then the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, the Bezdin in every generation has the right to come up with new dinim that they're mechadish based on the way they read the psukim. So many Achrayim are of the opinion, Chazanish thinks like that. But before the Chazanish, in the 1600s, there was a big machlekes Achrayim when Bezdin is mechadish a new din, whether the new din is only mekana lahabol like a din de Rabbanon, or we say, no, it's a gloy milsalam afreya that since Maimon Hasina, that was always the din. In the Chidor Sefer, Simchas HaRegel on Megillas Rus, he talks about two issues, Amoyni v'loy Amoyniyah, Moyavi v'loy Moaviyah. Rus HaMoaviyah was allowed to marry Boaz, even though the Torah says that you're not allowed to marry Loyav HaMoyni Moyavi v'kal Hashem, because we have a tradition, Amoyni v'loy Amoynis, Moyavi v'loy Moyavis. So that's number one, that's a big machlokes in Rishonim, what's the nature of that din? Amoyni v'loy Amoynis, was that a halachal Moshe Mitzinai, or was that a drasha that they darshan on their own? Then on the assumption, so the Chidor quotes, then on the assumption that it's a drasha that the Beis Din was mechadesh, then it's a further machlokes achrenim that the Chidor quotes, and that's sefer, Simchas HaRegel, was the din, do I say it's, when the Machadish a din, it's a glory milson mafreya. That was always the din from the days of Maimon Hasina. They say no. Just like if the Beis Din invents the din de Rabbanon, the Ramos, the Rosh said on Avery Besar Nechira, and Yud Zayin and Medallah, that's only going to be Mikana Labo. So to all the Dibrei Seifim, all the Chidushim of the Torah Shebal Peh, that the Beis Din in a specific generation was Machadish, maybe all the dinim are only Mikana Labo. Anyway, this is we assume this is halacha Moshe Mitzina. Hagrama is halacha Moshe Mitzina. This was not invented in the later generations. Fine. So what does the Gemara say? So how can there be a machlekes hatanoim? There's machlekes. What did say? Ruba kukuloi. The Gemara says Ruba kukuloi is halacha Moshe Mitzina. The Gemara said on where was it? We just looked. Chof kesan and base. Hochi agmerei rachmanu lemoshe, hochi agmerei rachmanu lemoshe. Hochi amalei. The Gemara b'feirish that is halacha Moshe Mitzina ruba kukuloi. So how is there room for machloike? The answer is they all agree ruba kukuloi. If you had shecht roiv of the behema behechsher, all the tanaim would agree that the shechita is good. But he did hagrama b'miyut basra. That's the machloikes. He shechts the roiv in the correct makom, and then he continues, he turns the knife, and he cuts too high, according to the second Pshat and Rashi. He cuts too low. He cuts in between one tabas and the other tabas. Okay. So that's the machloikes, but the hagram of Amir Basra passels on that. Yeah, how do we paskin? So the Gemara is going to say, Rabbi Shmuel Damit Rabbi Halacha Kerab Yosef Rabbi Yudin. So we paskin hagram of Amir Basra is good. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a problematic Rashi. Because I would assume the Rambam wouldn't agree. The Rambam and the Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnah that he said there never was a Machlokes. Whatever they have, Halacha L'Moshe Mitzina. The Gemara seems to say beferish that Ruba Kukula is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzina by Shechita. How can you say that? That's the machlokes. Yeah, there is a mashmos in Rashi. That is correct. That the Chachamim and the Mishnah, Tarakameh, they don't hold from the whole din of Ruba Kukula. But the Pashtus is not so. The Pashtus, you got to say, not like that mashmos in Rashi. That the machlokes only is Hagrama b'miyut basra. You've already shechted roiv. The animal is already hutar. So can, because he continued to do a hagrama, so that's what Rashi has a lashon. It's mechater basa bi'alma. Let's say you shecht roif, and then the animal is still jumping around, so you shoot the animal. Or you bop it over the head. You take a baseball bat, you bop it over the head, that it should stop jumping around. So that's, the, you already did, you already shechted roif. So the behem is already nitar. So the pashta says, Rabbi Shmuel, damat aveh, alachik rabbeis, rabbi yudah, that we pass on hagrama b'miyot basa doesn't pass on. Yeah. So this poses a problem, that line, we pass on hagrama b'miyot basa doesn't pass on. So we already discussed this. The Gemara has a suffix. Here's the Gemara suffix. Hechlet b'miyot samayhi laman amit beis. Right before the Mishnah. Boy rapapa, one line, right before the Mishnah. Hechlet b'mir tzimane, mahu teku. A sofek deraisa l'chumra. Was min hechlet b'mir tzimane. So Rashi translates, he shechts roiv kehechsher, and then he takes the knife and he sticks it b'chavoda, he sticks it behind the miud basra, and then he cuts outward. Normally he cut from outside in. If you stick the knife in the middle of the neck and you cut the other way, so that's called chalode, because the knife was hidden. You should be shechting from the exposed part of the neck. You don't stick the knife in the middle. So that's called chalode. So Rashi learns that was the Gemara Zibayda Lev Shita. Chalode v'miyot basra, is it kosher or not? So if it says teku, so it's a sofik deraisa l'chumra. That's what Rashi writes over there. So Rashi has the kasha. Rashi on Laman on the base has the kasha. But here the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel dam ta halachik Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yude, that what that hagrama b'mir basra is kosher. So how can Rabbi Shmuel say that? Here, boy Rapapa. Rapapa was in the later generation. Rapapa didn't know what Rabbi Shmuel said. Rapapa says over here, teku. So that's Rashi's kasha. The gabi hagrama nami. The Pirka Kambabenshi, yeah, what does he say? The Satkalon, the same suffix, just like the Gemara here, Boy Rapapa, Chalod B'meir Basra, the same suffix is Hagrama B'meir Basra. The Satkalon, the Dilmas Rilek, Rabban, Tarifai, the Matar, from Machol Chad, Menar, Abdin Alachomre. Rashi says, we don't paskal like Rabbi Shmuel. We have to be Machmer, even in Hagrama B'meir Basra. And we already saw the Tesis there. On Laman on the base, even Maschal Hechlid, Taisus quotes the Rashi, and then Taisus has a suggestion. There's room to say, even if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, that Hagrama b'miyot basra doesn't pose a problem, but Shia b'miyot basra and Chalada b'miyot basra would pose a problem. Hagrama yeshechtin shalov b'makam shchitin, and guns in the wrong place. That's like shooting the animal. I shecht roiv kan and roiv eshet, then I bop the animal over the head. So that's not called, I already finished the Shechita. So Agrama is in Gansun, Shalobah, Makam Shechita, Agrama being Basra, there's more room to be made over there. But if you're going to do Chalada B'meir Basra, or you're going to do Shia B'meir Basra, so then you can say the Gemara has a take. All right. So that's what Tosis made such a Svar L'chalek. Maybe there's a difference between Agrama B'meir Basra and Shia B'chalada, B'miyot Basra. But I'll. You're right, Rashi is mashma that the Tanakhama doesn't accept the whole dinner with Kukuloi. But it is easier is to say, like the Ramam, that whatever was Halachal Moshe Mesinai, there never was a machloikis about. I think Gemara has a machloikis about. The Gemara says, Lovud is Halachal Moshe Mesinai. And Lovud is a machloikis in the Gemara there, even whether it's three tvachim or four tvachim. How can you have a machloikis? Well, the love of the sweet talk from Afar Tfach Masalach and Moshe Messina, isn't it in contradiction to the Rambam? Rambam says there never was a machloikis on Aloch and Moshe Messina. So it could be a simple answer. The Gemara in the Erevin has a lotion. If you have a fence and the fence reaches within three tfachim to the ground, it's considered as if the mechitza is touching the ground. You say lovud. So the Gemara has a lotion. If the fence is suspended above the ground, it doesn't reach the floor, so and a gdi can jump through from one side of the fence to the other, the bas rosh, very easily. A gdi, a goat, a mouse can go even if you have lovud. even if you have only one tefach is missing on the bottom. Even if you only have a half a tefach, a mouse can squeeze under that also. An elephant can go even if you have 10 tefachim. An elephant can, baby elephant probably also can't squeeze under. So the Halacha Moshe Mesina, it wasn't 3 tefachim, 4 tefachim. The Halacha Moshe Mesina was if a gedi can jump through easily. So that was a machlokes hatanaim. How do you measure that? How many tefachim is it? Maybe the Halacha Moshe Mesina was never formulated in terms of inches or tefachim. Maybe the Halacha Moshe Mesina was if a gedi yochel his dakeh bevas rosh, a gedi can easily jump onto the fence, then you don't say lobet. If the gedi cannot jump onto the fence, then you say lobet. And what? How do you translate it into inches? So that's a machlokes hatanaim, whether 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim. That you can have a machlokes about. Last day we learned Baba Kama, so they raised the question. The Gemara sounds like it says that Tzur is as Halacha Moshe Mesinai, and it's a machlokes Sumchas in the Chachamim, where the Tzur pays Nezik Shalom Achatzi Nezik. So you see that there is a machlokes in Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So the Ritziv suggested in his Hakdamah to his commentary on the Shiltas, he says that if you look in the Rambam's Hakdama there, the Rambam says, I'm going to give you a complete list of all the halachas l'moshe mesinai. He doesn't include tzuras. And on the bottom of the page, in the standard Gemara's brachas, when you have the Hakdamas Rambam printed there, the end of brachas, so they tell you to look in the Sefer Chavis Yoyer. The Chavis Yoyer has a lot of kashus on the Rambam. I'm left out a lot of halachas l'moshe mesinai. So the Netziv says the teretz to many of the kashus is that the Rambam does not assume like Rashi and Tosfos in the Rosh. And whatever it says, Hilchos Gemira lo means Halacha Moshe Mesinai, the Rambam will always be careful. When the Gemara says Halacha Moshe Mesinai, the Rambam writes Halacha Moshe Mesinai. When the Gemara says Hilchos Gemira lo, the Rambam will write Mipi Hashmua Lomdu. So the Netziv claims in his Hakdama to his commentary on the Shulchan, Pi Hashmua Lomdu means that the din was established in the earlier generations, and at the time that the Gemara was written down, they forgot what the tradition was, what the derivation was. But it wasn't Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So that Shaitav Machlekes. And the Rambam doesn't write that Tzuris is Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Rambam writes Tzuris Mipi Hashmua Lomdu, because the Gemara says Hilchos Gemira Lo. So there you can have a Machlekes. When they established that din, that was a Machlekes, Simchas in the Rabbanah. Okay, that's a Shas topic. Do you ever have machlokes in Halacha Moshe Mesinai or not? Okay, Nachamo. Rabbi Shmuel Damit Shavai, Halacha Kirat Yeseh B'Rab Yudah. That we say Ruba Kukuloi, and we say Hagrama B'Mir Basra doesn't passel. And Rashi holds we shouldn't paskan like this. Rashi holds on Laman Amit Beis. Once Rapapa says Teku, he's not sure. And Chalada B'Mir Basra and Shia B'Mir Basra, that's on the next daf. Shiv b'miyad basra. So Rashi says it'll be the same suffix by Hagrama b'miyad basra. So we shouldn't accept Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. Then the Gemara continues. V'af Rabbi Yisrael Rabbeinu lo amar ela b'tabas hagdoilo ho'ela makevus es kol hakodem. Tabas hagdoilo, the top ring goes all the way around. Avol b'shara tabos, it doesn't go all the way around. Low. So what's low? What does that line mean? What did Rabbi Shmuel mean to say? So Rashi has three different interpretations. The long Rashi and Amud Beis has three different interpretations. One of them he thinks is correct, the other two he does not like. So the pshat that Rashi thinks is correct is that Rabbi Shmuel are saying he can only shecht in the tabas hagdolo, or ben tabas le tabas he can shecht. But you can't shecht in the lower tabas, even if you're cutting straight across, the shechita will not be good. Why? Because since it only covers roiv, the tabas hagdoilu, the top ring, makefes is kolakone. Avol shar tabas don't go all the way around, it only goes 80% around, let's say, and the rest is basur. So since it doesn't go all the way around, so ruba kukula is good when you're shechting. You say ruba kukula, but you can't say ruba kukula to declare that it has a din of a kone. So you're not shechting the kona, you have to shecht in the kona. So where is it called kona? Bein tabas, and tabas is called kona. When the tabas agdola goes all the way around, that's called the kona. The lower tabas are not called kona. Not funny pshat. That's how Rabbi Shmuel claimed. And then the Gemara says, we don't pass like Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, we'll have to see the Gemara on the base. That's the pshat that Rashi thinks is correct. And then the Gemara asks, is that true? The last line. B'shat habos, lo. Is that true that Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda would never say, he would say, you cannot shecht in the shart habos? Avatani Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, I know. A shecht b'shat habos, ha p'shem makivis, is kolakon, ha makivis, is radakon, shechtos, ekshare. So the beferish that it's wrong. So the Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Shmuel didn't mean to say that Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda would say it's no good. They hold it's no good. They hold it's no good. So that's what Amar Rabbi Yosef. The Gemara answers on the fifth line. Amar Rabbi Yosef. That's Rabbi Yosef was the Rebbe of Abaye. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Tarti Kama. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds there two dinim of Ruba Kula. There's one din. If you shecht roiv is good, and Hagramba B'mir Basa doesn't bother me. And number two, there's a din of Ruba Kukula that Shara Tabas, even though it doesn't go all the way around, that only goes right 80% around, it's Ruba Kukula, it's called a kone, and it is a makam shchit. Rabbi Shmuel Sarek Abbas Bechada Pliga Le Bechada. They pass on like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, but the second din of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that's quoted in this brisa that we quoted here, the last line that goes over to Amin Beis, Hashem B'Shar Tabas. That they don't pass him like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Freg de Gemara, but that's not what we quoted them as saying. They said earlier, they put the words into his mouth. They said that he never said it. Not that he said it, but we don't accept it. They didn't say that. Freg de Gemara, how can Rabbi Yosef say, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda tarti kama, Rabbi Shmuel Sarek Asa b'chpal alei pliga alei b'chada, they disagree with him. But you just said, the Rabbi Shmuel both said, Ka'amri in the plural. Rabbi Shmuel both said, the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would never say. He never said that you can shech there. Not that he said you can't shech. We don't accept it. The Gemara says, no, that's what he, that's, we presented it inaccurately. Anamana. Hachi Ka'amar. Hachi Ka'amar. Hachi Ka'amri? What does it say here? Is it a mistake here? Hachi Ka'amri or Hachi Ka'amar? Halacha Kemosa, but Habasa Gadala, and Halacha Kemosa, B'Shar Tabos. Not that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said that it's no good. No, he holds that it is good, B'Shar Tabos. Rabbi Shmuel said, we don't pass when I came by the B'Shar Tabos. So that's the first pshat that Rashi quotes, and he thinks that that's the correction. Then there was another pshat, a second shot that reads like this. B'shar tabos loy, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds Ruba Kukuloi, if he shecht roiv of the tabas hagdola is good, because the tabas hagdola goes all the way around. But B'shar tabos only the cartilage part, the hard part, only goes around 80%, and 20% is flesh over there. So if you'll shecht 51% of the 80%, so that's, if 80% is cartilage and 20% is basar, so if you'll shecht 51% of the 80, then you only have 41%. So 41% is not rife. So that's why it's no good. You have to have rife of the whole kone. You can't have rife of the cartilage part, the hard part. Rife of the cartilage part is not 51% of the whole thing. That's why it's no good. That's a nice pshat. So Rashi makes fun of that pshat. He says, if that's the pshat, how can anybody disagree? On the last two lines, the Gemara says, if the Shara Tabas loy, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't say Ruba Kukuloi, on the rest of Tabas, Rabbi Gemara, it's a beferish b'risa that it is good. What? There's a b'risa that that's good? If you shech 51% of the 80%, that's good. That's ridiculous. There's no room to negotiate. There's no room to argue. Of course it's no good. How can anybody say that it is good? So Rashi makes fun of that pshat. Then Rashi has another pshat that he also doesn't like. V'shara tabos loy. V'shara tabos. That's ridiculous to say that he shecht 51% of the 80%. So he only shechted 41% of the whole circumference. Of course, it's no good. The other pshat is no. And the shara tabos, since the cartilage part only goes around 80%, so even if you cut 60. Out of the 80, it cuts 60% of the sachakol. 60% is roiv of the whole kana, it's also not good. Agzera de Rabbanan, Shema, they'll make a mistake and think that 51% of the 80% is good. So Rashi said that's an interesting shot, but it's missing in the words in the Gemara. It doesn't say that. How can you put all this into the Gemara? So Rashi quoted the three pshatim, and he holds that only the first pshat is correct, and the other two pshatim are not correct. Okay. Shot. Unusual. The Rashi quotes three pshatim, and he tells you, I think the first pshat is correct, the other two pshatim are not correct. So what does the Gemara tell the story here? Gisalik Rabzera. Rabzera moved to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Bovel and then he moved. I think the Gemara tells the story in Bovel Metzia. He's the one who fasted 40 days to forget all of Talmud Bavli. Because in Eretz Yisrael they had a totally different style of... after the Siyam Majas, he fasted for 40 days. Argues, and the Gemara says he fasted 100 days. Meir Yom. So the Marshal thinks, the Marshal and the Bagadma and the Marshal, Marshal thinks that the Meir is a mistake. It should say Mem. They said he fasted Mem Yom, because the Gemara right before that says someone else fasted 40 days. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. He was fasting when the Rebbe Shlom gave him the Torah. So if you want to learn well, you have to fast. If you learn straight for 40 days and 40 nights, and you don't go to sleep, and you don't eat, and you don't drink, then you'll know like Moshe Rabbeinu, you know Kalat Torah Kulam. And if you want to forget everything, so fast for 40 days and 40 nights, and you'll forget Kalat Torah Kulam. So you wanted to forget Talmud Bavli, because in Eretz Yisrael they had Yerushalmi, it was a totally different style of learning. So he didn't want to get confused. So the Gemara said that he fasted. So argues in the Gemara that he fasted Mea Yom, and the Marshal thinks that it's a misprint, should say Mem Yom. The Mem, they made into Mea. The printer made a mistake and made into Mea. Anyway, so this is Rab Zera. Rab Zera was an independent thinker. So he moved to Eretz Yisrael. A Zionist, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He saw the Rab Zera, Ochamu Gremes, the Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel holds that you the way Rashi learned, you can't shech b'shat ha'boz. So how are you going to know when you had to have the neck of the animal? How do you know which tabas you're holding by? You have to take your knife and scrape off all the flesh in order to see which tabas is there. You have to scrape off all the flesh by the neck to see which tabas you're up to. So Rabbi Shmuel, the way Rashi learned, Rabbi Shmuel, you can't shecht on the shah tabas at all. You have to either in between one tabas and the other, or in the middle of the upper tabas. So Kozban, that he lived in Bavel, that was the minig in Bavel. The Rabbi Shmuel went to different cities, and they instituted, that was the minig in Bavel. Nobody would eat an animal that was a behema or a chayah that was geshochten in the Shah Tabos. When he moved to Rab Zera, when he lived in Bavel, followed that practice. When he moved to Eretz Yisrael, so there he didn't feel kofef anymore to the minig of Bavel. So he ate Mugremis the Rabbi Shmuel. He ate, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, is an Avela, it's Hagrama. If he shecht b'shar Tabos, and when he came to Eretz Yisrael, there they did eat it, so he ate it. Amri Leisa, they asked him, Rab Me'asrit, Lab Me'asrit the Rabbi Shmuel, didn't you come from Bavel? So you are not allowed to eat this. We in Eretz Yisrael, we don't hold from Rabbi Shmuel. But you come from Bavel, you shouldn't be allowed to eat it. So Amalahu, so Rab Zera responds, yeah, it's a misquotation. Who says that Rabbi Shmuel said? Man Amora, who said over that Rabbi Shmuel said it? Rabbi Yosef, that's Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chiya. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chiya is not reliable. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chiya, Mekuli Amagoma. He heard Torah from different people, he mixed everything up. Mixed all the names up, and you can't rely on what he says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. So somebody went from Eretz Yisrael back to Bavel, and they told Rabbi Yosef, that's Rechilas, but there's always some good Samaritan who's going to tell over the Rechilas. They said, you know it, Rabbi Zera said it about you. And you're an idiot, you're a moron, and you said over the name of Rabbi Shmuel something that's inaccurate. So Rabbi Yosef felt so insulted. So he said, what do you mean? I'm not accurate. I heard everything from Rabbi Yudah, who is very careful. Sham Rabbi Yosef, but someone went back to Babel and told Rabbi Yosef, and he felt very hurt. Omar, Ano Mikuli, Amo Gemirna. I heard from everybody. Not true. Ano Amir Rabbi Yudah Gemirna. I learned Rabbi Yudah was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. have a lot of times Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav and Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. He learned for a period of time by one, and when he passed away, he learned by the other one, by Rav Shmuel. Anami Rav Yehuda Gimir Nedav, he was fake the Gabi Gors. He was very meticulous, very careful. If he wasn't sure exactly who said it, he would say, well, it's fake. He says over a din. So he's very careful the way he says. Rabbi Yosef says, I was always very careful. I always said over him, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was very meticulous. Yeah. What is the din that he said? It's not too relevant for us. Well, it is relevant if you have a Jewish farmer. There are a lot of Jewish farmers, not in Manhattan. There are Jewish farmers who own farms and they have behemoths. So the din is that if the firstborn behemoth of a behemoth tahira happens to be a zachar, then it has a kedushas bukhar behemoth tahira, and you're not allowed to shecht it till it gets a mum, and you're not allowed to make a mum. And then when you shecht it, you have to give it to a kohen. The bukhar is one of the chavtalad matnas kahuna. If it doesn't have a mum, this mancha besim yekdusha yikayim yimakriv it on the mizbech, and then the kohen eats a bikdusha v'taharam. And then, and if it's bismancha in beis hamikdash kayim, he give it to the kohen, he shechts, and then he eats it like psula hamikdashim. You don't have to be paid. Bchor and meiser are the two karbanis. When it gets a mum kavua, he can shech the chutz lamikdash. There's no need for pidyon. It's psukim mechumash. Loi macha v'loi gol. Those two karbanis. Bchor and meiser don't need any pidyon. So what's the din? So you have to have. You have to, Gemara says, you have to have special smicha to be a mumcha. You have to be a mumcha, and you have to have special smicha to be mate b'choris, to know that it has a mum kavua, as opposed to a mum oiver. The Gemara says that Rav stayed on a farm for 18 months, a year and a half. The Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin says, he lived on a farm for 18 months in order to know, all to learn all the biology. When is it a mum kavu? When is it a mum oiver? Yeah. So, and you have to have a mumcha to paskin. It has to be a mumcha know the dinim, and it has to be a mumcha mainly to know the biology. When is it a mum kavu? When is it a mum oiver? So what if you don't have a mumcha available? The Gemara says when they gave smicha, they would give yore yodin and yata b'charis. Yore means he has smicha to paskin isa le'eta. Yod nikim paskin dini knosses, dini maminis, and yat the bechor is that he spent time on a farm and he knows what's a mum kavu, what's a mum maivar. So the Gemara says, what if there's no mumcha available? So what did he say? Shlosha matir mes habchor, shlosha had yotis, kibi mat habchor, mumokim she'ein mumcha. There's a din like that in Hataris and Dorim. If you have a mumcha, he can be matin the dorm be yichidi. And if you don't have a mumcha, then shlosha hadyotzes matir mes haneder, b'mokim she'ein yochid mumcha. If there's no yochid mumcha available. That's a question. The Ran in the dorm quotes a machlek sarishan. What do you mean a yochid mumcha? Means that he has smicha? Or no, maybe it has nothing to do with smicha. Mumcha means that he's an expert in the hilchos nedorim and he knows how to be matin neder. But shlosha adyotis can be matir if you don't have a yochid mumcha available. So shlosha adyotis can be matir by a mum, by a neda, hatoris nedorim. So by bchor there's such a by nedorim it seems al pi pashtus that it's a real din deraisa, hatoris nedorim is a real din deraisa. The Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga writes, "Het nedorim porchim boavir." The institution of Hataras and Dorim was transmitted from generation to generation orally. Parchas Bavir, the sound waves float in the air. It means that it's Torah Shebal Peh. Ve'en lam ha'meshe yismochu. The Mishnah says, there's no way to read it in between the lines in the Chumash. Usually, Rov of the Dinim, or Dinim, Rov of the Dinim deraisa, Dinim that you read in between the lines in the Chumash. Why does it switch from singular to plural? Why does it switch from masculine to feminine? Why is there a kefaloshin? Why is there an extra phrase, a missing phrase? Molei chasa, with a vav, without a vav, with a yud, without a yud. So you read in between the lines. Then you sometimes have halacha Moshe Misinai. It's purely perchem boavir. It's transmitted from generation to generation orally by sound waves. Ve'en lehem al-meshi yismochu. There's no way to read it in between the lines. So the Mishnah, the last Mishnah, and the first Perek in Chagiga, says, HaTaris and Dorm is Halacha Moshe Mesinai, Elam HaMeshe Yismocha. Then the Gemara quotes, it's on the Ramad Aleph there. Then the Gemara quotes, there are different Tanoim in the different Brises who say, Yesh Lam HaMeshe Yismocha. No, it's Torah Shabbat Peh, but it's not Halacha Moshe Mesinai, just orally transmitted. There is a way to read it in between the lines. You can darshan it from the Pesukim. But I'll call upon him, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came, the Raisa Tikkun. Here by a Bechor, they made a Takana de Rabbanan. On the level of the Raisa, when the Bechor gets a Mum Kavua, so you can shecht it Chutz LaMikdash. You don't need a Bezen of three, and you don't need a Yochid Mumche. If the farmer knows that this is a Mum Kavua, Shein Ginuk. So with the Rabbanan, they made called the Tikkun Rabbanan came, the Raisa Tikkun. They pattern it after HaTorah Nedarim. Just like by HaTorah Nedarim, you need either Yochid Mumche, Oshlosha Hedyota, so by HaTorah HaBchor, the Paskin that it's a Mum Kavua, also you need either a Yochid Mumche. Yochid Mumche means he's an expert in Mumim. He knows what's a Mum Kavua, Mum Iver, and he has special smicha. You're a Yod and Yat HaBchoris, he has special smicha to be Mat HaBchoris. Oshlosha Hedyota is Matir Mes HaBchor B'makam She'ein Mumche. Yeah, here, Rashi, I don't know why Rashi felt compelled to mention it. Rashi over here, Dibra Mascha, Matir Mes HaBchor. Shlosha Hedyotis, Rashi writes, Matir Mes HaBchor Di Shochit Ba Medina, B'mum Avua V'galui Lakol, Shehu Mum. If it's an obvious Mum Kavua. Kailam B'chor, Zafila Mum HaGoli Tzorch Leheirois Lechocham, Leharis Lechocham, Kidisnan. You have to have a psak on an animal. Midirabbanan, minatar, there is no such thing. Midirabbanan, kidisnan. Hashechres apcheva hakacheres mumar, meiram ahobin ishcha shlopi mumche osur. Yeah. So it could be osur. If the farmer went ahead and he shechts the bchor without the psak of a chochem, because the farmer thinks that it's a mumkavu, and then afterwards he asks the chochem. So it could be that now that the animal is dead, now it appears that it's a mum kavua. If you would have seen the animal while it's still alive, maybe you would have realized that it's only a mum oiver. It's not a mum kavua. So Rashi says, but the machlekes Rav Meir Nachachamim is Yukimno, and the Gemara there in Chorus interprets that machlekes Rav Meir Nachachamim is a machlekes b'mumin shebeguf afal pishaimish tanim lachamisa. It's not going to change lachamisa. Sometimes the mumim will change lachamisa. Because the animal is dead, and now you look at the dead animal, so it looks as if this is a mum kavu, but if you would have looked at the animal while it was alive, you would have realized that it's only a mum oiver. So that, of course, you can't be mata the animal if you show it to a chacham after you already shechted it. But there's a machlekes hatanoim, if you have a mum kavua begufo, mum shebeguf, not mum shebaayin, that may appear after the animal is dead. It looks as if it's a mum kavua. What if it's a real mum kavua that didn't change? Ein ishtanim. It didn't. He can't raise a pasuk. Maybe it changed. Maybe after it's dead, it looks like it's a mum kavua. So still, even though it didn't change, it's a machlekes hatanoim. If the bezdin looked at the animal after you shechted it, do you say shchut echutz? Because the heter of the bezdin is only mikan al habo, or do you say no? It's a gloy milson lemafreya that it had a mum, so he had a right to shecht it. Min haTorah, you don't need a bezin at all. If it has a mum kavu, it's automatically muta. The machlekes Rav Meir Nachachamim there, I don't know why Rashi quotes it, was you have to get involved in this whole story. I don't know. It's just to enlighten you. I don't know. It's a whole sugi over there. So it's a machlekes satanoim. Let's say there's a din on Shabbos and Yontav, one of the lamentas of his malachas is misakin mana. So the word mana means a kli. If you have a broken kli, let's say I have a broken watch and I bring it to a watchmaker to fix, and he fixes the watch. So that's misakin mana. The watch was broken, or my automobile doesn't work, I bring it to the mechanic. The mechanic fixes it on Shabbos and Yontav. That's misakin mana. Or I have, let's say, a broken fork, it's twisted, and then I straighten it out, and now I can use it as a fork or as a knife. I had a broken chair, and I fix it. So that's Mesakin Mana. Mana is a kli. What if you're Mesakin Mana on Oichlim? So that's also Midirabbanan, also Mesakin Mana. So what if you're Mafrish, Trumas, and Maisris on Shabbos and Yontov. So the Mishnah says in the end of Beitzah, you're not allowed to. That's Misakin Mona Midirabonim. That's Misakin Mona Midirabonim. So what if a person has a Shaila and Hilchas Basa B'cholov, and you come to the Chacham and the Chacham on Shabbos and Yontov, and the Chacham paskins that it's Mutter? Let's say Shaila and Hilchas Treifas. You have a chicken, and chicken was cooked already. And now you realize there's a Shaila of Hilchas Treifas. So you bring it to the rabbi on Shabbos at Yontov. So the rabbi is not allowed to paskin. The rabbi sees that it's kosher. Let's say he sees that Tarubis, and he tells you it's Mutter because Batal B'shishim. He tells you this is not a Treifas, it's okay. He's not allowed to paskin Lohakil because that's Mesakin Mona. So the Gemara says, no, that's Mutter. When the rabbi paskins Mutter, it's not that Mikana Lahabot Mutter. When you're mafish Chumas and Maisus, Mikana Lahabot Mutter. Up until the time you're mafish Chumas and Maisus, it was Tevel, it was also Bachilo. And now that you're mafish Chumas and Maisus on Shabbos and Yontev, now it's Mutter. So that's called Misakin Mone. You made it Mutter, Mikana Lahabot, so you're not allowed to. If you ask a Shalan Hilchus Trefus and the Chacham says it's kosher, it becomes Mutter Mikana Lahabot. No, it's a Gloy Milsam Afreya. It was never a Trefor. Or let's say, the Yisid fell into Heter, and the rabbi calculates that you have shishim and his bottle, and he tastes it. Someone tastes it, and it doesn't have any nisim and stam. He paskin that it's muta mikana lahabot. No, it's a glow milsim afreya. From the time that the Yisid fell into the Heter, it was bottle of shishim already, before the Chacham said. So that's not the violation. When the Chacham says lahokel, the Chacham is not in violation of misakin man. He's not being muta mikana lahabot. He's just telling you that it was always mutter. It was mutter from yesterday on, mutter from 3 days ago. It was mutter. He's just being mevar what the din is. So that's a machloikis hatanoim. By hafroshes trumas and maisus, it's only matam mikana lahabot. But by a chacham or the beznam shlosha edyotas, they're going to be matar apchor. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. Called the tikkun rabbanon kein. There is a tikkun. They pattern it after hatoras nedarim. So hatoras nedarim. That's a mishnah. You're not allowed to be matar nedarim on Shabbos and Yontov unless it's the tzorach Shabbos or the tzorach Yontov. Let's say the person took a neder not to eat chicken and potatoes. That's all his wife prepared for Shabbos is chicken and potatoes. So if he's not going to be matar the neder, he won't have anything to eat for Shabbos. So then the Mishnah says you're allowed to be matar neder. But if it's not the tzorach HaShabbos, a different neder, not the tzorach HaShabbos, then you're not allowed to be matar neder. Because it's not that it was always mutter, and the bezin is mevara that it was always mutter. The bezin says mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. It becomes mutter. True, the din is a chacham azeka aneda meikara. The chacham when he paskins mutter, it's a gloy muslim afreya. It was always mutter. Even if he already, let's say a person already violated the neder, and then he goes and he makes a hataras mdarm. He took a neder not to eat potato chips, and he ate some potato chips, and they warned him, don't eat the potato chips, we're going to give you malchus. And then he says, give me all the malchus you want. I can't control myself, I want to eat the potato chips. And after he eats the potato chips, he goes to Bezdin makes a Hataras Nedarim. So the Gemara says, how can the Chacham be Matan Neder? The Chacham is only Matan Neder by declaring that it was a Neder B'toy. So it's a Gelod Milson HaMafreya that the Neder was always Mutan. But it didn't fall apart by itself. The Neder doesn't fall apart by itself. You need a Bezdin or a Chacham HaYochen Mumchet to be Matan the Neder. So that's why being matan neder is an isa de rabbanon. On Shabbos and Yontov is an isa de rabbanon because it's called misakin monin. After the bezin will be matan neder, the big loy muslim afreya that was always mutter, but it didn't become mutter by itself. Bezin has to declare that it's mutter. So that's the machlokes hatanoim called the tikkun rabbanon came. There is a tikkun. It said here the either a yochid mumche or shlosha hadyoitos should paskin that the animal that the pchor beimatora has a mum kavua. So is it mata mikana lahabos? If you shechted it already before, and then you show it to the chacham, and the chacham sees this was a mum kavua. So if it's like hatoris and darim, then it's only mikana lahabos. So it's farfame. You already did shchut yichutz. Can't be mata with lamafreya. So that's Rav Meir holds like that. Asherches abchav achakacheres mumal. Rav Meir Ramhav and ishchut shlal pi mumcha aser, and the chachamim disagree. Machlokes hatanoim. The Gemara says, and ain't sudden, Rashi quotes, Beitza. Masach is Beitza, Perik ain't sudden. The Gemara says there, let's say you have a B'chor Beimator that has a mum kavua, and you want to shecht it on Yontif to eat it. Can you have a bezdin of three, or Yochid Mumche, Paskan on bezdin, on the animal that it's a mum kavua? So the Gemara says it depends on this machlokes satanoi. If you are like Reb Meir, shochnas habchor b'chakecher is mumai, it's also b'chilo, because the heter was on the mikar on the habo, like hatoris and dorim. Then when the bezin paskins hatoris and dorim on Shabbos and Yontif, it's a nisa misak and money. You're not allowed to be mataneder. And the same thing, you're not allowed to ain roim samum in b'yontif, ain roim sabchor. You're not allowed to have roim sabchor. But if you hold not like Reb Meir, you hold like the Chachamim, that is just the demavarim. The fact that it was always a mum kavua, it's not kein the rice of Hatoris and Dorm. You need yochid of shlosha. That's kein the rice of Hatoris and Dorm. But it's like hayros isav heter. Like if you show the shalat to the Chacham says that it's not a treifa. So it turns out it was never a treifa. So then it would be mutter to pasken al yontif. Then it's not called misakin mona. The bezin who's going to be mater is not really undoing the isur. So they're just being mevar that it was always mutter. That's the gemara in Beitza that Rashi refers you to in Beitza Dav Chazan. Again, I don't know why Rashi. What compelled Rashi to introduce this whole machlekes satanoim? It's an interesting machlekes satanoim. And see that it's so necessary over here in Chulin. And Daf Yutches on the base. Yeah.
Why is this sort of din d'rabbanan by Bechor? What does Bechor have to do with Nedim?
They were afraid that if you rely on the farmer may have an agiyah. He doesn't want to wait forever till he gets a mum to be able to give it to the kohen. He wants to give it to the kohen should shecht it right away. So they said, you have to ask a shayla of either a bezin of shlosh ed yoytas, when a chacham yochid mumcha is not available, or a yochid mumcha. So they said, you have to have a psak of a bezin. We shouldn't be lying every time Dick and Harry should paskin on his own. The balabas should decide on his own. So once they said, you need a bezin, so they said, either shlosh ed yoytas or yochid mumcha. So the question is, it's gained the rice, the psak has to come from either Shloshi Ed Yotis Yochan Umcha like HaTorus and Dorm. Is it like HaTorus and Dorm that until the Bezdin's Paskins, the Nether is betokfo, but now it'll be Mutter? It'll be Nekel and Mafreya. Chochem is like HaNedel and Mafreya. But it's because Bezdin is Materit, so that's an Isser of Mesach and Mona. Or no, it's like Kairos Isser Behetta. The three people just on Avara. Yeah, that's a Mum Kavosh, huh?
Why would they be more concerned
about Mume Bechor than any Shaila in Sivet, that a person has a Megiyah? Any Shaila that could come up for a person in Sivet, a person has a Megiyah that he wants to be Matir his food.
So
yeah.
Why
Dafka
by
Bechor? I don't know. Interesting question, I don't know. Other questions probably also you'll ask Kachacham. All you'll always ask Kachacham. I don't know. Why they make such a big fuss over here? I don't know. The Mishnah Mechores tells a story that was a non-Jewish policeman he was in charge of a certain road, and the road passed by the farm that belonged to a Jew, and he noticed every time he passed by that there's one cow that they never used to do any malacha with. So he asked the farmer, the Jewish farmer, is that a holy cow? Why don't they use that cow to do anything? He says, yeah, that's a holy cow, that's a Bechor Behemet Torah. So what are you waiting for? So waiting till it gets a mum. So make a mum. What's the problem? So we're not allowed to make a mum. If a mum had happened by itself, there wouldn't be a problem. So then the Goyish policeman was a nice fellow. So he took out his knife and he cut the lip of the Bechor. The Jewish farmer didn't ask him to, but the Jewish farmer he wasn't thinking. He told the Goy so much information why they're not using the cow. So the Goy did him a favor and he made a mum. So the Mishnah discusses, if the Jew caused the mum kavua, the Jew took the cow, the Bechor Behemetar, and he put him in an area which is fenced in with barbed wire. So whenever you lean on the barbed wire, it's going to cut you. So the b'chor got a mum because the farmer put him into a barbed wire cage. So then it's the fault of the Jew. So then you're not matter the b'chor, you're not matter the shech the b'chor if the Jew caused it to get a mum. So that's a discussion in the Mishnah. Should we penalize the Jewish farmer or not? So apparently that was an issue in the days of the Tanaim, that they used to have, after the Churban HaBayis, they used to have B'chor Beim HaTorah. We don't have it today. We always make a shutfus with the Akum. We always make a shutfus with a non-Jew, even if you're not interested at all in having a non-Jewish partner. So you make a little shutfus with the Goy in order to be potter in the whole issue of B'chor Beim HaTorah. The whole institution of Mechiras Chomet started off as Mechiras Beim HaMevakeres. And then in the 1800s, when the Nesivis instituted the Mechiras Chametz on a big scale, it was all patterned after Mechiras Beheima HaMabakeres. It was already worked out in the days of the Bali HaTesvus. How do you sell Metaltalim to the Goy? How do you sell Beheima HaMabakeres to the Goy? Nachman said, "This, what did Reb Zera do?" Zera came to Babel, and he fasted his 40 Taneisim. He should forget the Talmud Babli. Okay. And then he eats mugremis. No more Talmud Bavli. So whatever he held, whatever he observed in Altaheim, nobody would eat Rav Shmuel's chumra. That if you shech the nene the other taboys, it's not a good shechita. First pshat in Rashi, it's not a good shechita because you don't say ruba kukula to declare that it's a makom shechita. So Kolzman, he lived in Bavli, he wouldn't eat it. When he came to Eretzol, he ate it. So they asked him, "Are you come from Babel?" So he said, "Yeah." Rabbi Yosef said, "Oh, the name of Rabbi Shmuel is not reliable. Rabbi Shmuel never said it." Sure. So Rabbi Yosef got upset about that. But the Gemara still asks, "All right, so Rabbi Shmuel never said it, because it's not correct. But still, that was clearly the minig in Babel where he came from, that they wouldn't eat such a mugremis. Maybe the minig was a minig betos, but that was the minig." So the Gemara asks, since that was the common meaning, where Abzera Leisle, doesn't he hold from the Mishnah in Mokum Shenuagu, the first Mishnah? First Mishnah says that on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, he's not permitted to do Malacha. Erev Pesach before Chatzos, in the morning, that depends on the minhag on Mokum. Mokum Shenuagu, Shalol Lassus Malacha, even in the morning, Ein Osim. Mokum Shenuagu, Lassus Malacha, Osim. Why is after Chatzos? Why are you... Everyone agrees, after Chatzos and Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to do Melocha. So the Gemara with the Tesvos there had different explanations why. Some say you're not allowed to do Melocha. If you're going to get involved in Melocha, Bizman HaMikdash, you're going to forget about, he's going to be fixing his automobile, it may take 7 hours, and he's got so involved in the automobile, he's going to forget to go bring the Korban Pesach. You don't bring the Korban Pesach, then Farfal. Then a Leil Pesach, after the sun sets, it's too late to bring the Korban Pesach. It's Man HaMikdash. So that's one suggestion. So then it's a question, if that's the reason why, does that didn't still apply even after the Churban HaBayis? There is no Korban Pesach being brought. So that's a discussion. And the other reason that the Rishonim quote from the Yerushalmi is that the day on which you bring a korban is considered a yontif shalanu. It's considered a yontif. So just like when we bring musafim on Shabbos and yontif and chol hamoed, there's an isa malacha. The fact that you bring musafim is an indication that there is a kedusha sayyam. So the kedusha sayyam asas b'malacha. So on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, everybody brings the korban pesach, so it's like a yontif. So you're not allowed to Erev Pesach in the morning before God says you can't bring the korban pesach. It's too early. If you bring before Chatzos, it'll be possible. According to Rav Tanoim, some disagree. Gemara says in Zvachim, there is a Tana who has all the opinion that b'di'evit, if you brought the Korban Pesach in the morning, it would be good. But we paskin is no good. So that's the other pshat in the Gemara. That any day on which you bring a Korban has a din of a yontav, so it's asa basir's malacha. Then Mishami asked the question, is every single day of the year they bring Korbanas t'midim? On behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, so no one should ever be allowed to do malacha ever, because every day of the year this you're bringing korbanos. So the Gemara says, no, that's a gzeres hakasu. Yasafta deganecha v'sirosh chavitzarecha. Torah says you're allowed to do malacha. The whole din al pi pashtin is only mid the rabbanon. The whole din that the day on which you bring a korban Gemara calls it Yantam Shalano, a family that the Mishnayis and Tainis, Mishnayis Tainis, list off certain days of the year when certain families had the tradition, Mizman Abayis, they would bring Korban Eitzin, they would bring other Korbanos. So that family, even after the Korban Abayis, that family would observe an Issa Malacha on that day. They would it would be a Yontem Shalahem, they would throw a party, and they would observe an Issa Malacha on that day. So that's the other pshat in the Yerushalmi, that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, because the day on which you're obligated to bring a Korban must be that there's a Kedusha Sayyim, that's Mechayim, and that Kedusha Sayyim asas b'malacha medirabbana. Doesn't ask him in a Torah. It's a make-believe Kedusha Sayyim medirabbana. So before Chatzos, and Erev Pesach before Chatzos, that's the Mishnah in Pesach, Mokhm Shenogal Asas Malacha Oisim. It depends on the Minhag HaMokhm. Acha Chatzos, it doesn't depend on Minhag HaMokhm. That's either a real din midirabbanan, or it's a universal minhag. It's a question, after Chatzos. It's a minhag, it's a real din midirabbanan. It's a question, how serious a din is it? Yeah. If it's a minhag, well, let's say before Chatzos. Before Chatzos depends on the minhag HaMokhm. It's a minig. Why is a minig binding? Why are minhagim binding? Why is one obligated to follow a minig? So the Gemara in the Dorim and after Zvav and Maral, the Gemara says that there's bal yachal midirabbanan. Bal yachal midirabbanan means that min haTorah neder is only binding on neder. Rav Shmuel for person nefesh kisushov levati b'sosaim lohar lehetet. That's in Parshas Vayikra. If the person pronounces with his lips. He says, Harini Noida, Harini Nishba. He takes a neder to do something. Let's say someone has a minig, when they take out the Sefer Torah, or they put the Sefer Torah back, so they walk, the Ramah writes such a minig, you walk behind the Sefer Torah, everybody, they have a whole procession, everybody follows the Sefer Torah. So that's a nice minig. So that's, the minig is binding, even though he never said, Harini Noida, Harini Nishba, even though he never said it, so that's binding midirabbanan mitam neder, as if he would have taken a neder. But he never said it, and that's the first klal. Nefesh kisushava levata bisfasayim, you have to pronounce a neder with your lips. So the answer is that there are exceptions to the rule where the neder is binding, even though he never said it. There was no levata bisfasayim. So one of the exceptions the Gemara has on the level of the rice, and one exception is Hegdish. Because the pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, "Kol nediv leiv odas heviu." Whoever had pledged in his heart, whoever had pledged in his mind to bring a korban oil to the Beis Hamikdash, it goes in the beginning of the Beis Sheni period. So they brought the korbanos. So you see that a hegdish is chal b'machshava, and that's a pasuk. That's a din deraisa. It's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, but the Gemara says it's a din deraisa, and we assume the same is true regarding tzedakah. In Shulchan Aruch, they pass. Let's say they make an appeal in Shul. I made up my mind, I'm going to give $100. I made up my mind, I'm going to give $1,000, whatever. So if I'm toying with the different ideas, I'll give $100, $1,000, back and forth. So I didn't make up my mind yet. So then it's not yet binding b'machshava. Binding b'machshava, I made up my mind b'hechlet, that's what I'm going to give that amount of money. So that says in Shulchan Aruch that stock is just like Hegdish, that it's Chal B'Machshava also. But Midirabbanan, they declared that any Minik Toiv should be treated as a Shvua, as a Neder, just like on the level of their Isa Neder to bring a Korban, it's Chal B'Machshava. So Minik Toiv, Midirabbanan, is considered as if you took a Neder or a Shvua. So that's if a private individual person has a Minik Toiv. He personally walks behind the Sefer Torah. What if it's a minig amokim in Bavel? They would need this kind of mugremis. What's called the mugremis, the Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi Shmuel had this opinion, whether they're right or wrong. Rabbi Zera thinks that they were wrong. Rabbi Zera fasted 40 times, and we should forget all the Torahs of Rabbi Shmuel. So he said everything they said in Bavel was wrong. Okay, so he held that it was wrong, but bottom line, that was the minig. They wouldn't eat them, Bob. They wouldn't eat Mugremis, the Rabbi Shmuel. So why is a minig hamokam binding? There's a minig ayochid, and then there's a minig hamokam. Why is a minig hamokam binding? So you see that also, there's a concept of Shvuas HaYochid and a Shvuas HaTzibur. In the Chumash, it doesn't say Chumash has Nefesh Kisushava Levati Bisvasayim Lahor Lehek. Nefesh means an individual person. But we see from the Gemara that there's such a thing as a Shvuas HaTzibur, Shvuas HaKohol, the whole Kehillah as a Minig. So Minhogi HaKehillah are binding Mitam Neder Mitam Shvua Midirabbanan. Just like a Minig Toiv of a Yochid is binding Mitam Neder, and Minig of a Tzibur is also binding Mitam Neder. The Ragachova used to get a lot of mail. People in Europe, those who learned in the yeshivas in Europe, everybody used to send them kashas from all of the Chassidish yeshivas and the Litvish yeshivas. Everybody would ask him kashas, shaylas, kashas, and everything. Usually kashas, and he would go broke if he would have to pay all of that postage. So he used to send them a double postcard. That postage was already paid for the return card. So they always used to send them kashas. So once they asked, they want to get him involved in the aguda. What does he say about the aguda? So he knew what the aguda was. So he wrote a whole book about lulav tzarecheg and lulav ein tzarecheg. He didn't want to get involved. And then they once asked him, what does he say about the shalosh shvuas? Shalosh shvuas, that's the gemara in the end of ksubis, that there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim that's repeated three times. So the Gemara says that the meaning of the Shvua is, it's written three times, there were three Shvuas. So one of the three Shvuas is that the Jewish people will not force the issue of establishing a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. We won't force the Goyim to give us Eretz Yisrael. We're not allowed to force the Goyim. So that was the main opposition. The Minkatcha's main opposition to the Zionist movement was, it's a violation of the Shalosh Shvuas. So they asked the Ragachava, what does he say about the Shalosh Shvuas? So they wanted him to take a stand. So he wrote a whole pilpul on the Shalosh Shvuas. Nothing to do with the Munkach's opposition to Zionism. So he wrote that this letter is printed. Letter about the Agud is also printed. So his he had a daughter who was married to a Talmid Chacham who lived in Eretz Yisrael. And then she went back to Europe in the middle of the war in order to print her father's letters. And they warned her, you're going to go back, you're going to get killed. They're killing all the Jews. And she was killed. She printed a volume of letters of her father. And then she was killed. She never had any children. So that was the end. I think she had another daughter whose husband was a rabbi in Moscow. One of the few rabbonim in Moscow in the recent years. So in the collection of letters that the daughter printed, so they have this letter about the Shalosh Shvuas. So the Ragachova asks, what do you mean Shalosh Shvuas? I never took the Shvua. I never heard from my parents and my grandparents that they ever took the Shvua either. So why is the Shvua binding? So apparently the Shvua was taken before the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech composed Shir HaShirim. And the pasuk appears three times about Hishbati Eschem and Rosh Yerushalayim. So the Shvua that was taken in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, that was almost 3,000 years ago. So that Shvua is binding. Arayam Hazeh, why is it binding? So he says, apparently we assume that there's a Shvua Sayochid and there's a Shvua Satzibur. So if the Tzibur takes a Shvua, so it's binding on all the future generations. So the Mele, there's such a thing as a Miniga Yochid and a Miniga Tzibur. Just like a minig is binding midrabbanan, mitam neder, mitam shvua. So the minig at tzibur is also binding, mitam neder, mitam shvua.
But that's not a shvua that the tzibur took. That's a shvua that a Kodesh Baruch Hu made to the tzibur, no?
No. He had the tzibur take the shvua. The Jewish people took a shvua at one time that they won't force the issue of establishing a Medina.
But isn't it, the psukim shir shirim, isn't it phrased as a shvua towards them, that the shvua is that it won't happen that way, that it will be when they come to Eretz Yisrael, that
it's going to
be Ali de Mashiach and Ali de...
No, he made the Jewish people take a shvua, that they won't force the issue. But I never took the shvua. And the answer is, but I'm part of that tzibur. So if you have, the Hasidim have minig, they don't eat gebruchs. And the Yekkes have a minig, whatever they don't eat, I don't know, whatever they don't eat. Kidneys. And these people, every group has their own minhag. So whoever belongs to a group is obligated to observe the Rabbanan, all of them in Hogim of that group. A minhag is binding, a minhag toiv is binding, mitam nedim in the Rabbanan.
It's not the same thing as the Shlosh Edvar Mitztavu, Yili Yisrael B'Knisas on the Aretz?
No, those are Gimel Mitzvahs. That's a different thing. No, but here the Rabbi Shalom encouraged Bnei Yisrael to take the Shavua. Ishbat Yeschem, and they said, yeah, we're masking, we take the Shavua. So that Shavua is binding, even though we personally never took the Shavua. The Shavua HaTzibur is binding on all the people who belong to the Tzibur. Yeah. So how long are you stuck with the Shavua? Let's say a Sephardi girl marries an Ashkenazi, or the reverse. An Ashkenazi girl marries a Sephardi. So what's with the kitnias and what's with all this? So the Gemara here says, let's say it's not a girl getting married. Reb Zera fasted 40 Tanesim to forget everything that he learned in Bavel, the old Talmud Bavli. He wants to convert to become an Israeli. He doesn't want to be bogged down with the baggage from Chutz Lords. He doesn't want to help from Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara asks Akasha Reb Zera, all right, he says that Rabbi Shmuel were wrong. He said Rabbi Shmuel never said it. He thinks Rabbi Yosef made a mistake. Rabbi Shmuel is misquoted. Segmar, but that was clearly the minig. Where's the Rashi? It's the Rashi on this daf. Take a look soon. Rashi writes like, even if you hold that Rabbi Shmuel never said it or it's wrong, but that was the meaning in Bavel. So the Gemara has the kasha of Rabbi Zera. Basically, doesn't he know the Mishnah in the beginning of Makom Shenogu that says, "Das malav chumei amakom shiatz misham chumei amakom shaholach misham"? A person is holach mi makom la makom. He goes from Bavel where they don't eat mugremis. The Rabbi Shmuel goes to Eretz Yisrael. So how can he eat mugremis? The Rabbi Shmuel. But he came from Bavel, and you have to observe the Chumei Amakim Shiyatza Misham. And in Bavel, they had it as a minig. That was the minig, that they wouldn't eat Mugremis, the Rabbi Shmuel. And for the Gemara, Omer Abaye, so the Gemara gives two answers, and we accept the second answer, I think. Omer Abaye, Hani Meili, that din, you have to still observe all the minhagim of the Makim Shiyatza Misham. Hanimile, that din only applies a Mishnah in Psachim, only applies in Bavel, Eretzol, Inami, Eretzol, Bavel. So you have to, even when you go to Bavel, you have to observe the Minhagim, Lechumra of Eretzol. Avol, the reverse. If you go to Bavel, Eretz Yisrael, that's what Abzera did. He left Bavel, he went to Eretz Yisrael, came in the Anan. We who live in Bavel, Kaifinan Lehu, we are kafuf and learning to the Rabbonim and Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says the Rabbonim and Eretz are the days of the Amoraim. The Rabbonim and Eretz Yisrael was stronger in learning than the Rabbonim and Bavel. We learn Bavli all the time, so we're familiar with Abai Verave and Rabbi Shmuel and so on. But the Gemara says that Talmid HaChachamim and Eretz Yisrael was stronger in learning than Talmid HaChachamim and Bavel. So he says, Kevan Anan Kafin on Lehu, we and Bavel are kofuf to the Talmid HaChachamim and Eretz Yisrael. Abdinon Kaba Sayas. Reb Zeir, when he goes to Eretz Yisrael, doesn't have to observe the Chumrah and learning the Mugremis, the Rabbi Shmuel, and Eretz Yisrael. They didn't hold from that. They didn't hold from that, they held the Lahakim. So Reb Zeir doesn't have to observe it in Eretz Yisrael because of Chumrah Amak Mashiach Misham, because in Eretz Yisrael the learning was stronger. Shani. That's what Abai suggests. And Ravashi gives a totally different answer. Ravashi Yama, I feel the time, I both of Eretz Yisrael, the same din. Even if you disagree with Abai, wherever you go, you have to observe. If you plan to go back to Bavel, so you're really bound with the dinim from Bavel. However, Abzera, he fasted 40 Tanesim. He didn't plan to go back to Bavel. He didn't want to have anything to do with Torah's Chutzlars. But Abzera ain't died to Lachzor, Havi. He was ain't died to Lachzor. Therefore, he only has to observe the Minhagim in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't have to observe the Minhagim from Bavel. So it's based on this Gemara. Let's say a couple gets married. We said before, one is a Sfardi, one is a Yekke, whatever, Gebroks, Chassidim, Esnagdim, different Minhagim. So a couple gets married, so the girl plans to get divorced. She plans to get divorced and go back to her parents' home. We hope she does not plan to get divorced. She wants to live with her husband. Maybe Asim Shana. So, and you're not talking about a Minigah Yochid. You're talking about a Minigah Kehillah. You're talking about a Minigah Kehillah. There's a tzibur that doesn't eat gebroks, and there's a tzibur who doesn't eat kidneys. Whatever the minig is. By the Yekkes, by the Hungarians in Europe, they wouldn't eat chicken on Pesach. They would only eat flesh. Because in Europe, they used to feed the chickens kernels of grain. And when they would shech the chicken, sometimes there would be kernels of grain in the stomach that weren't fully digested yet. If the chicken just ate something now and you shecht it, so the body is going to stop producing all the enzymes that break down everything to its component parts. It's not going to produce any more enzymes after the animal is dead. And they used to cook the whole chicken together with the stomach. We cut out the stomach. But in Europe, they used to cook it with the stomach. So Tosfos has this shayla, and the Rishonim have it, and Shulchan Aruch, they talk today, that it comes up. You cook the chicken, and you found a chitam and chumetzes. You found a kernel of grain that was cooked in burning hot water, and it became chametz in the middle of Pesach, so you have to asa the whole chicken. So they used to have such a practice, they wouldn't eat chicken, they would only eat flesh. Flesh, you don't cook the whole cow with the stomach. The cow is gigantic. You take a little bit of the cow. You don't cook it with the stomach. Today, the whole meaning doesn't apply at all because nobody feeds grain to the chickens anymore. They feed them kidneys. They feed them maize, corn on the cob, because the grain is way too expensive. So that's what the Rabbanim say. Even those people who had the meaning in Europe that they don't eat chicken on Pesach because of the chashash of chimutz, you may find the chitam mechumetzis. The whole thing doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh because nobody feeds. We have a klal in the Gemara, Dovish HaMiminyan Tzoch Minyan Achal Atira. Whenever the Chachamim made a takana for certain reasons, even if you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply, the takana still applies, unless you have a Minyan Achal Atira, unless you have a Bezin, you establish a Bezin to undo that takana de Rabban. But I'm in Hogim, the Rishonim and the Poskim say it doesn't apply. If you have a minig that was instituted for a certain reason, you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply, because the whole world is changing, so then the minig falls apart by itself. You don't need a minyan achal hatira. That's a Rashi in the first parak in Beitza, and Rabbi Chaim Moshe has a tshuva about that. The last tshuva in Achiezer, there are three volumes. So the very last tshuva, the last volume, he also writes like that. Yeah. So that's the... When you're talking about a minig ha-kehila, so the girl and the boy, before they got married, belonged to different kehilas. One was a Sfardiya, one was an Ashkenazi, whatever. Chassidisha, Mesnagdisha. Then when they get married, so you say the husband and wife belong to two different kehilas. Whatever minig ha-yochid they accepted, so that's still binding after they get married. But whatever the boy or the girl have a minig ha-kehila, Kozman, they were single, they belonged to different kehilas. Once they get married, it doesn't make sense to say the husband and the wife belong to different kehilas. So they have to belong to the same kehila. So who joins whose kehila? So usually you say in halacha that the wife is b'shu sabal, for ha'toras and dorim, and for other purposes. Mitziyosa labaylo, ma'isiyadeh labaylo. You usually assume the wife is b'shu sabal. So we usually assume that if everything else is equal, that probably the girl is entering the kehila. The girl joins the kehila of the husband. But sometimes not so. Let's say the husband is a ger. So what do you mean she joins his kehila? He's wet behind the ears. He doesn't have any kehila. He's a Baal Tshuva. He doesn't have any, his grandparents were secular Jews. What do you mean she joins his kehila? He doesn't have any kehila. He joins her kehila. But this we assume the husband and the wife have to belong to the same kehila. So that's what the Gemara says, Rav Zeir was ein daita lachzer. So that's what Moshe Feinstein says, when a couple gets married and one joins the other one's kehillah, it's ein daita lachzer. They don't plan to get divorced and go back to their old minig. So So they no longer belong to a different kehillah now. So you don't even need a hataras and darn. Some rabbanim say when a girl gets married, so whoever's going to take on the minhagim of the other one and throw out their old minhagim has to have hataras and darn. And Rabbi Moshe says, why do you need hataras and darn? Rabbi Zeri didn't make a hataras and darn. He belongs to a different kehillah now. Ain't I talach? So the old, the mugremis, the Rabbi Shmuel, is no longer binding on him. And the Gemara asked that question. Amalei Abayle Rabbi Yosef. He asked the question, is this true? What they confronted Rabbi Zera when he came to Eretz, they said, you come from Bavel. In Bavel, nobody eats mugremis the Rabbi Shmuel. Is that true? That in Bavel, everybody is careful. For her Rabbanon, the Talmidim, the Osami, Machuza is a city in Bavel. Amri, they said, Mishmei, the Rab Nachman, Megremis, Ksheira, they said they don't hold from Rabbi Shmuel's Chumrah. So what did they confront Rab Zera? They said, as if all of Bavel has such a minig not to eat Megremis, the Rabbi Shmuel. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef was the Rebbe of Abai. So he says, Nara Nara Upashte, every river flows, and it turns a little bit. Every river has its own tributaries. It flows a little bit. So we all follow the Torah, but there are different streams that go. So every community has its own minhagim. So in Bavel Gufa, not all of Bavel has the same minhag. In parts of Bavel, they followed Rabbi Shmuel. They wouldn't eat the mugremis, the Rabbi Shmuel. If they did a shechita b'shar tabos. And in other places, in Machuza, they said the minhag was not so. Very hard. How do you know in advance where you're going to shecht? It's a long windpipe. You're going to shecht somewhere. How do you know whether you're holding by the tabas? You can feel with your finger where the tabas al yoyne is. You have to scrape off all the skin. You're going to have a bloody mess there. You have to scrape off all the skin by the neck to make sure you're shechting in the tabas hagdol, the tabas al yoyne. Nara naru pashte. Every river has its own tributaries. In German, the word nar means a fool. Yiddish, German. So people say incorrectly, nara naru pashta, every fool has his own pshat in the Gemara. That's not what it means in the Gemara. That's a Yiddish expression. Nara naru pashta, every nar, every fool has his own pshat in the Gemara. But in the Gemara it means every river turns and twists and turns. So it's all basically the same Torah, same river, but the different minhagim, slightly different from each other. Yeah, here Taisus has a problem, the second Taisus on the base. Kevin Anan Katina Lahu. Who is Kafuf to whom? The Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael are Kafuf to the Rabbonim in Bavel, or the Rabbonim? Our Gemara says the Rabbonim Anan Katina Lahu, Abai says. We in Bavel are Kafuf to the Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael. So Taisus is bothered with a Kasha, then it's a Hedrin Dafei, Mashma Ipchot, and just the reverse, that everybody in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim, and Eretz Yisrael, Kofuf to the Rabbanim in Bavel. So Tosfos says they're talking about two different things. Here the Gemara is talking about in learning. In learning, the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael was stronger than the Rabbanim in Bavel. So that's why one who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael doesn't have to observe the Minhag HaMachom Shiyatzei Misham, even if Daita Talatza, that's what Abai thought, because in Eretz Yisrael the learning was stronger. But that Gemara there in Sanhedrin Daf Hei is talking about a different topic. The topic there is Netilas Rishus. Netilas Rishus means like this. Let's say there's a dintur between Reuven and Shimon, and Bezdin paskins, and they made Reuven pay $100,000. Then the Bezdin realizes that they made a mistake. So sometimes there's a din they can reverse the psak, and sometimes they cannot reverse the psak. That's the most complicated sugya in Sanhedrin. That's called Torah B'Shikol Adas. The sugya B'Shikol Adas. So if the Bezin made a mistake, Toy B'Dvar Mishnah B'Ferish Din, they just made a mistake. So then they reverse the psak. Toy B'Dvar Mishnah Choyzer. But if it's Torah B'Shikol Adas, you can say like this, you can say like that, and the common psak is one way. And they didn't realize that. They paskin incorrectly. So the Baldin who won the first time can say, maybe a second psak is incorrect. I hold like the first psak. I don't want to surrender the money. So then sometimes we say that the Bezna has to pay from their pocket. Since they admit that they made a mistake, But they can't force the fellow to give back the money if it's Dov Shikol Adas. The party who won the Torah the first time can say, I hold like the first psak. How can you prove that the second psak is correct, the first psak is incorrect? It's questionable. I hold like the first psak. So the din is sometimes that Bezin has to pay to Yishalmu. Bezin made a mistake. Medina de Garmi, the Gemara says. If I go and I burn down your house and I take your money and I destroy it, that's sort of a mazik. If I tell you the psak is that you have to pay $100,000 and you paid, so you're a religious Jew, of course you're going to pay because you picked the Bezin. The Bezin says that's the din. So religious Jews follow the psak of the Bezin. So that's called dina de garmi. That's not called mazik bi'adayim. If I burn down your house or I take your money, if not tal benasan bi'yad, if I say you owe him $100,000, give me the money and I'll give it over. So if it's natal benasan bi'yad, the bezin took the money and they gave it to the other party, that's all the mazik bi'adayim. So then you have to pay. But if he just gave a psak, lo natal benasan bi'yad, he didn't take the money and give it over. He gave a psak, but the religious people, they're going to follow the psak. So because we pass like Rav Meir doin din in the garmi, so therefore the dayan has to pay. So people didn't want to go into dayanus. I'd rather give a shir in the yeshiva. You can't, even if you make a mistake. So you're saying, Pilpul, you're not mopsing anybody anymore. I want to publish kisveyat. They can't get into any trouble over there. If you're going to go into dayanus, sometimes you're going to make a mistake. So the Chachamim were afraid. It's the same thing for doctors. About 40 years ago, they started all these lawsuits against the doctors for malpractice. So you can't stay in medicine. You make one little mistake, they're going to sue you for the rest of your life. You'll have to pay $20 million to this person. You'll never make so much money. So a lot of people who were good, the doctors, left medicine because they were afraid that they were going to be sued, and they'll take away every penny that they have. So I know got a guy who learned in my shia many years ago. So he was a doctor. He wasn't so gewaldic. He wasn't accepted in any medical school in America. He went to Guadalajara, to Mexico, and then he continued in Chicago. So my guess is that he wasn't so good a doctor in the first place. But then when they started suing doctors, so he didn't malon al tzarazos, so he decided to go into medical supplies. And now he's a rich man. He's no longer a doctor. He doesn't need any insurance coverage. And he makes money, medical supplies. Yeah. So in order to encourage good doctors to stay in medicine, in order to encourage big, honest, and goodness Talmid HaChacham to stay in Dayanus, so the Chachamim instituted a practice that they give rishus from Bezin. For whoever got 95 and above in medical school on all of his exams, so we give him a document from the government or from the Rabbanut or something, that in case they sue you for malpractice, you don't have to pay. Tolo Yishalmo. Unless he did the hezek on purpose. But if it was an honest mistake, because we want to encourage you to stay in medicine, we want to encourage him to stay in Dayanus, so we give him reshus from Bezin. Reshus from Bezin means he has permission to practice medicine, that's a dovah poshut. He has permission to judge dinei mominus, and tolo yisham, you don't have to pay. So what kind of a din is that tolo yisham? That's based on hefker bezin hefker, because mikra din, medina de garmi, he has to pay. It's only midirabbanon. We want to encourage him to stay in the field, but we want to have the best people staying in medicine. We want to have the best people staying in dayanus. They say hefker bezin hefker. So hefker bezin hefker is basically, that's what the rishonim say on that daf and sanhedrin. Hefker bezin hefker is basically an extension of the original din is dina de malchus adina. The government has the right to be mafker property. If the government isn't doing the job, then hefker bezin hefker, the bezin should act as if they are the government. But it's really rooted in the din of the government. So considering the two heads of the communities in Eretz Yisrael, the community was a community of a lot of learners. The Nasi, the Rosh HaSanhedrin, lived in Eretz Yisrael. And in Bavel, the Reish Galusa was Dino Kemelech, the Rambam writes. The Reish Galusa was Dino Kemelech. So when it comes to paskening shailas anan katina lahu, Abai says we in Bavel we're all kafuf and learning to the rabbanim to the tamina chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara has a lashon in a different place. Chad minayu kitrei minan. One tamina chacham in Eretz Yisrael knows how to learn as well as two tamina chachamim in Bavel. Means that each tamina chacham in Eretz Yisrael was as strong in learning as two from Bavel. So in learning is anan katina lahu. That's our Gemara. And the Gemara Sanhedrin is talking about Hefker Bez and Hefker. So there the Gemara says, if the Reish Galusa in Bavel gave Rishus to someone to practice medicine or to practice Dayanus, and if he makes a mistake, Tolo Yishanlo, they can't sue him for malpractice. So the Rishus from the Reish Galusa in Bavel patas him even if he makes a mistake in Eretz Yisrael. But if he has Rishus from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, Nasi is the Rosh HaSanhedrin, that doesn't pat to him in Bavel. The pat to him in Eretz doesn't pat to him in Bavel because the community in Eretz Yisrael is kafuf to the Reish Galusa in Bavel. It's the opposite from here. He says, no, they're two different things. Here it's talking kafuf and learning. And learning, the learning was stronger in Eretz Yisrael than in Bavel. But as far as hafkas mamen, as far as applying hefker bezna hefker, the din is basically din in the malchusa. Hefker bezna also has the right to act as if they're the melech. But the real, the Reish Galusa in Bavel, he's like the melech. That's the Raman quotes all these dinim. The Raman said the same as what Tosis says. Then Tosis quotes the Gemara in Hurrius. I don't know what they really want to prove. The last three lines in Tosis. There's a din of Soyer and Nasi. If someone is Machal Shabbos B'Shoigig, or somebody eats Chelav Adam B'Shoigig, or you eat Chametz B'Pesel B'Shoigig, if you do an Aver B'Shoigig, which if you would have done it in Mezid, there would have been a punishment of Koris, so if you do B'Shoigig, you have to bring a Chatos. Chatos Kavua. You bring a Chatos Kavua. It doesn't matter whether you can afford it or not. Sometimes it's a Chatos or the Biorit, but the normal, Kosher Zonakosh, a Gosser Chatos, you have to bring a Chatos Kavua. So then if it's the Nasi, if the Nasi was Machal Shabbos, then he brings Soyer Nasi. If a Yochid is Machal Shabbos or eats Chelav Adam or something like that, he brings Kizba Osira. He brings a Chatas Nekeva. Usually a Chatas Nekeva, Kizba Osira. If the Nasi violates Chil Shabbos B'Shogik, he brings Soyer Nasi. So the question is, who has the status of the Nasi? The Nasi means the Rosh HaSanhedrin, or the Nasi means the Reish Galusa, which one is considered, or the Melech, who is considered the Nasi? So the Ramban HaChumash quotes this Gemara in Hurrius that Tosis is quoting. Nasi Sheberetz Yisrael, Eina Mevi Soyer. The Rosh HaSanhedrin is the Nasi Sheberetz Yisrael. He doesn't bring a Soyer, because the Gemara says, based on the Mashmos of the Pasuk and Parshas Vayikra, you only have Soyer Nasi if Eilam Eilam Menu El Hashem Elokov. There's nobody above him in the Jewish community. No one has a higher level of appointment. So the Reish Galusa is Dinu Kemelech. The Nasi Sheberet Sod is the Rosh HaSanhedrin. He doesn't have the highest appointment. The Reish Galusa has, in Bavel, has the status of a Melech. So the Melech has a Din of Soyer Nasi. But the Rosh HaSanhedrin will not have that Din. Rabban HaChumash is not sure about Nasi Diyamcha Lo Sa'or. If you curse the Nasi, you get twice Malkus. You get Malkus once because Nasi Kal Cheresh, and if he also happens to be the Nasi, you get another Malkus. So with respect to Soyer Nasi, the Gemara says in Harius Daf Yud Aleph, he has to be Mishein Amayla Menu Al Hashem Al Akov, only if he's the top man in the whole Jewish community, and the Nasi, the Rosh HaSanhedrin, doesn't have that din. I'm sorry, Nasi. But what about the Klola? What about the Lav? Nasi B'Amcha Loisor. Rabban HaChumash is not sure. Maybe the Rosh HaSanhedrin is included over there in Nasi, because that expression of Lashem Alakov, the Ein L'mayla Menu Lashem Alakov, doesn't appear by Mekal Al Nasi. Yeah?
I think the Gemara in Horius, it's Rebbe who asks the question, would I bring a Seder? So, don't we know that from the Gemara, I think in Brachos, that Rebbe was not just the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, he divided the Nisia from the being the Avbezdin between his sons. So is it that the question is because he's the is he the Rosh the Sanhedrin, or is it the question because he has some other authority?
No, because he says Shemdika Bibov Resh Golar. Because there was a Resh Galusa during the time.
Was a Resh Galusa, but meaning does Rebbe come up with the Havamina in the first place because he's the head of the Sanhedrin?
Yeah.
Or is it because he also has another status as a Nasi? He also has a little bit of power like the Resh Galusa has, like a political office.
In Eretz Yisrael, yeah. But since he's not the top man in the Jewish community really is the Resh Galusa. So even though Rebbe has that authority.
Would the question apply Bizman HaMikdash, for example, to the Rosh of the Sanhedrin at all in the days of the Beis HaMikdash? Let's say you have a Melech, you have a Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
Would there be a Havamina that the head of the Sanhedrin would bring a Sire at all?
Yeah, there would be a Havamina.
So that's also, he's asking on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what Ramban raises the possibility. Maybe it's only by Sire Nasi that the Rosh of Sanhedrin doesn't have the Din of Nasi. So when you get to Nasi B'Yamcha Loisor,
maybe the Ramban is referring to the Nasi Be'eretz Yisrael, meaning after the Korban. Is that possible?
Same thing. I don't think it makes a difference. In Eretz Yisrael, when you have a Melech and a Rosh HaSanhedrin, so the Melech is a higher position than the Rosh HaSanhedrin. So therefore, you wouldn't have the din of Sawyer Nasi on the Rosh HaSanhedrin. But the Lav of Mekalel, maybe you would have. Abarachum is not sure. The Rambam says that there is a din of Mekalel if he's the Rosh HaSanhedrin. The next thesis is an important thesis of Halacha L'maaseh. Okay, we'll save it for tomorrow. Tomorrow is a normal day, I think. Okay.
Yeah.
Thursday is going to be a problem. Mm-hmm.